Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Come on, if you love Jesus, why don't you give Him praise this morning? Come on. We thank Him. While you're standing, why don't you lift your hands to heaven? Why don't you begin to cry out to the Lord this morning? Why don't you begin to inquire? Why don't you begin to ask Him, begin to welcome Him? I love the scriptures would say, open up you ancient gates, let the King of glory in. Come on, the Lord is here. Just begin to welcome Him in to the uttermost parts of your heart, just however you need to, in your native tongue, in the spirit, in English, just now begin to welcome Him. Lord, would you speak? God, would you have your way? God, I thank you for a word in season. God, I thank you for blessing. I thank you for favor. I thank you, Lord, that you are doing a great work in this church. And God, we pray that you would speak to us today. We inquire, we ask, we seek. Lord, we say, come and have your way. And we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, let's say amen. Amen. And let's clap our hands one more time to the Lord of hosts. Come on. Hey. You may be seated this morning in the house of God. What a beautiful day it is. And I bring greetings from, feels like the great nation of Western Australia. How about that? And somebody asked me, did you get your passport out, Pastor, for this trip? I said, yes, I did. It's quite some way, but I'm so honored to be here. All the young adults, let me see your hands. Come on. Hey, who was met by the Lord over the last few days at the young adult retreat? I thank God for that. And hey, I'm going to introduce myself quickly. I do want to get to the Word of God. We are going to be in the book of Jude today. And I believe that the Lord would give me a word for you this morning. I do want to invite you back out this evening. I'm honored to be here for your all-in gatherings. I believe the Lord would have something profound to speak, if I may be so bold to submit to you what I believe the Lord would be speaking over Pneuma Church. And this morning, we're in the book of Jude. This evening, we will be diving into really Malachi chapter 4. I believe the Lord would have something profound to say. I do come from Perth. I was born in Australia, so I'm one of y'all. G'day, come on. But you're like, you don't sound like me. I am American and Australian, half Hispanic. ¿Hablas español? Anybody? Muy bien, gracias. I only know enough to like impress Australians, but the real ones are like, you're a fraud. This is my beautiful family, my lovely bride of 11 years, 12 years next year, Chantel Byrne, and she's the love of my life. Together we have 5 children. Come on, somebody. And we are blessed. I have 4 daughters, so I got to pay for a lot of weddings one day. Pray for your man. Got one son, the mighty Brixton, and we are a blessed family. We moved from America, the nation I grew up in, born in Australia, about 2.5 years old. My parents, who met through YWAM. Any YWAMers in the room? Come on. Praise God. That's a bit of my foundation. Our parents, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, been married over 3 decades, just faithful. And they had myself and my sister in Perth, and the Lord had told them to leave everything and move to America and build the Lord a house. And so I grew up in America, grew up in a church that came out of the Jesus Revolution in the late 70s under Chuck Smith. And if you would know of any of the Calvary Church, strong expository Bible teaching, verse by verse, precept by precept, and spirit-believing church. And so I come really from a strong foundation, but we sold everything in 2019, had a prophetic dream, and the Lord had said to leave everything, gave us a word for a church called Tribes, and we had no money, we had no team, we had nothing, we just had a word from God, 2 small children, and we left everything, sold it all, put it into 6 duffel bags, and came to this nation knowing only some family. And what God has done over the last 6 years that we've been here, the church that we started, in the middle of COVID. Y'all remember that thing? Oh, my goodness. And we started in our living room, had a Bible study, and that church has now grown in just under 5 years to over 1,000 people. God is moving, signs and wonders, people being saved. Come on, let's give God glory. That's the glory of the Lord. And I bring greetings and peace in the name of Jesus to you all.
The Lord has met me profoundly in this church. And as with many of you, this room holds a dear place in my heart. I thank you, Pneuma Church, for your faith and your contending for the things of the Lord. And I do believe that the Lord would have me say today that he's not done. Come on, I said, God's not done. Hey, God's not done with this church. God's not done with this people. Come on. Let your faith begin to rise in this place. God is not done. And I felt the Lord wanting me to speak. I just hear the Lord saying, if I could just humbly submit this to your leadership and to you as you, even the prophetic voices in this church, I just believe the Lord would be saying to get ready. To get ready, to get ready. I believe that there is a fresh move of the Spirit of God, not just in Victoria, but across the nation of Australia. I was on sabbatical last year in America, and I was in Arizona. And if you know anything about monsoon season in America, it can come swiftly. But oftentimes, before you see a cloud in the sky, you smell the scent of rain. And I was outside in the middle of the afternoon, and I smelled rain, and immediately the Lord was starting to speak to me. I could not see a cloud, but I was reminded of 1 Kings, where Elijah would go up on Mount Carmel after the great victory, and he would put his head between his knees and begin to cry out, sending his servant six times, I see nothing. The seventh time, I see the cloud the size of a man's hand rising. And I felt last year, friend, that the Lord had been sending a cloud. We've been seeing the Lord moving in power in Western Australia. We've seen the Lord moving in power, had the honor to minister in Queensland. The Lord's moving in Queensland. I've had the honor to minister in Tasmania. The Lord's moving in Tasmania. Had the honor to minister here in Victoria. Come on, the Lord is ministering in this place. And I just felt today to bring some expectation, to bring the word of the Lord to you. I believe that there is a cloud. I believe the rain of God is being poured out upon the earth. I believe that there is a revival of the saints. God awakening his people. God reviving his people. I believe that there is a cloud over the region. And I believe, you know, you see in scripture and in history, every revival outpouring begins with God first reviving his church. God first taking the cobwebs out of the hearts of the saints. Where there's apathy, there's carnality, there's vanity, that the Lord would so graciously call his people to return back unto him. We see Jonah going to Nineveh. We see Israel and the prophets, priests, judges, and kings. We see 120 people praying in an upper room on the day of Pentecost. We see a few people gathering in Wales, hungering for God. We see a few people at Azusa Street, hungering for the power of God. We see a few people at Asbury, seeking the face of God. And I wonder if there's a few people here again at Pneuma Church, desperate for the glory of God to fall upon our region. Oh, Lord, would you do it again? Would you do it again in our day? Would you pour out your spirit upon the church? I believe it's a time for us to prepare and to consecrate. Lord, what would you want to do in our families? What would you want to do in our marriages? What would you want to do in our waiting seasons, in our singleness, in our businesses? I believe it's time that the Lord would say we must contend for the holy faith. Can I read some portions of Jude to you? It's one chapter in this precious book. Now, the letter of Jude starts in verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Now, we know that Jude was the stepbrother of Jesus, but I love how Jude starts his humility. I'm a servant of Christ. This beautiful humility. I'm a servant of the Lord. He is speaking now to the church. Look at verse 3. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith. I've been arrested in my spirit that even we may have an idea of I really want to communicate this, and even praying into what, Lord, would you have me to speak to this precious church, this historic heritage, landmark church in our nation. My spirit was arrested, and I love that we can have an idea of what we would say or an idea of what we would build, but yet this humility, this sensitivity to the Spirit, I was very eager to deliver this about our common salvation. but yet my spirit was arrested to deliver this word. Now Jude is highlighting through verse 3 to 16, speaking to judgment on false teachers. He's speaking, look, I was eager to bring to you this encouragement about our common salvation, not by works, lest any man should boast, but by grace through faith you have been saved. But yet I must speak in, and Jude is speaking in, charging the people of God to contend for the holy faith. Look at verse 17. Now he's speaking, but you, speaking to the church, speaking to the beloved, but you, friend, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, they said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, the contrast, but you, church, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, but hate even the garments stained by the flesh. Another translation says this, show mercy but hate sin. Show mercy but hate the sins that so contaminate those outside our walls and those even in the church. Look at verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the one and only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Jude ends. Amen. Lord, I pray that you would speak once more. God, I thank you for a holy expectation, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're calling your church back into rivers, God, back into the depths, Lord, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. God, I thank you that your grace is perfect. God, your mercy is unfailing. God, I thank you, Lord, that today, Lord, I thank you for the revelation of your resurrection, God. I thank you for the revelation, God, of your second coming. I thank you for a holy urgency. I thank you, Lord, that you are calling us higher into you, Jesus. And I pray, oh Lord, that your grace would be found, your mercy would be met, God, and you would provoke everyone in this place, Lord, to higher and greater things in you, Lord. Bless these people, oh God. Bless them indeed, oh Lord. And I thank you that you're not done. Would you speak once more? We say, speak for your servants. Listen. Come on, let's say amen. I've titled this word, Holy Faith, and I want to just walk through what we just read. Is I believe that it is a time to contend. And I believe that the Lord would have six things for us. Excuse me. He would have eight things for us that as we contend in this hour for the holy faith, that we would see a resolve built within us. Not in our neighbor, but within us, within our household. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I think it's profound that the Great Wall of China was built over 2,300 years. This is roughly 92 generations. The work, the resolve, the mission all passed down from generation to generation. See, if the generation was not imparting and teaching and raising up the next generation, the work would cease. Think how important it was for those generations to build a wall to secure their empire. If that was so important, friend, built over 2,300 years, you know what I think is also around 2,000 years old? It's the Church of Jesus Christ. And how much more precious is the kingdom of heaven, friend? How much more precious is this gospel that is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, oh, it's the blessed visitation. Oh, it's the foolishness to the world, but it's the hope of glory. Come on, this precious gospel, that we would have this burden to say, may I pass down the word of the Lord. May I pass down to my children and their children. Friend, can I remind you, that's what's happened with this church. Y'all are 100 years old. It's been passed down generation after generation. And I just believe the Lord would want to put a burden within us to say, it's time to contend, to advance the kingdom of heaven, to advance the mission of the gospel, to continue to impart, to teach, and to reach a generation with the word and power of Christ. I think it's an hour like Acts 17 where Paul is speaking and he notices that there's an idol to the unknown God. I think that there's a generation emerging that isn't asking if God is real. I think they're asking a question, which God is real? Barna has deemed the Gen Z the open generation. Never before in history has there been a generation so open to spirituality. And I just think, friend, if we are not on our toes, church, if we're not advancing in the things of God, if we're not evangelizing and praying and fasting and seeking God and living holy lives and extending our hands in mercy, then I wonder if we're missing out on a generation that is hungry and searching which God is real. Would we be invited into the harvest, friend? For the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. I think I'm looking at a room full of laborers. Come on. Come on, those who will say, Lord, I'll contend. I'll contend. The first thing we need is discernment. Look at verse 18 and 19. The last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. Our oldest daughter, her name is Berkeley, and the other day she was trying to get out of something that she blatantly did, but she denied it. I looked her in the eyes, I said, Berkeley, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I got a discernment. She said, you're right, Dad, I'm so sorry. This discernment, don't we need this holy discernment? This distinguishing between, as Charles Spurgeon would say, it's not distinguishing between good and evil, it's distinguishing between right and almost right. We need a discernment, church. The basic tactics of the devil are three things: deception, accusation, and temptation. The deception, remember, the world is blinded. There's a little g God who's blinded the world. That is Lucifer, the devil, Satan, the accuser of the brethren. The deceptive spirit of the age would say that truth is a lie and lies are truth, calling good evil and evil good. We must have a discernment to distinguish between what is right, what is of God, what is truth, what is holy, what is righteous, and what is not. The devil accuses. He's the father of lies. He's the accuser of the brethren. See, the devil always points the finger. Look at what you did. Look at what you did. Look at your past. And I love that for the Christian friend, this is the grace of God. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word than that of Abel. The blood of Christ washes, redeems, breaks every chain, breaks every curse, redeems, restores. See, while the devil points the finger at you, you know what the Father does? The Father points to the cross. The devil says, look at what they did. The Father says, look at what my Son did. Come on, any redeemed in the place? Come on, that you don't have to bow to accusation, because you know that it's the blood of Christ that's washed me and healed me, and it's his grace that beckons me forward, friend. We are not bowing to accusation. The third temptation, remember, to be tempted is not sin. It is, as James says, as when you take that temptation, that whisper, you allow that seed to be planted within you and it births sin, friend. Remember, even Jesus was tempted, but yet Jesus did not sin. He is our hope, friend. He is our example. We have to have a discernment against the schemes of the devil. Number two, we need the Holy Spirit. Come on, this is a spirit church. We need Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the blessed baptism of fire. We need his anointing. We need to walk in the rivers, the living rivers of God. Luke 9, can I remind the church that Jesus has given his church authority over all demons? Can I tell somebody, you've been intimidated, you've been muzzled, you've been fearful, but can I remind you, friend, that if you're in Christ, you've been given all authority. Not your own authority. You're not like mustering up in your own strength. No, it's the authority of Jesus. That at the mention of the name of Jesus, come on, every demon trembles. Luke 9, that we've been given all authority, friend. You're not the tail, you're the head in Christ. You're not a victim, you're a victor. You're more than a conqueror. Come on, I know I'm speaking to somebody. that the devil is under your feet, church. Come on, we can walk with this authority. We can walk with this confidence, not in my own strength, but in the strength of God. That I've received the authority of Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, that's not all he's given us. He's given us, as 1 John chapter 2 says, the anointing. That he has given us authority and he's anointed his church. Come on, the Spirit of the Lord is upon the church. To proclaim good news to the poor, to open prison doors, to continue the ministry of Christ on the earth. As he would say, the kingdom of heaven has come. Repent and be baptized. Now's not the time to shrink back, friend. Now's the time to contend for the holy faith. You have the Holy Spirit. Remember, you've been indwelt with his blessed presence when you gave your heart to Christ. The Spirit of God does not dwell in temples made with human hands, but he dwells within these skin habitations. Come on, any skin habitations in the place, any redeemed in the place, can you just give God some praise for a moment? Come on, that he dwells within you. Come on, you got the presence of God Almighty, that the Spirit of he who is in you is greater than the spirit that's in the world, friend. This is all in the Bible, my friend. You can sit there and let this truth wash over you. Oh, I pray, let the tears flow. Let the hope rise within you, the expectation, friend. The nights may be long, but I hear the sun is rising. Come on, the sun rising over your life right now. May every foul spirit, may every weapon fall flat in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you need that over your family, why don't you praise God in advance? Come on, go ahead and thank him in advance that he's working. All things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Come on, that's me, that's you, that's the church. Jude says to pray in the Holy Spirit. To pray, utter mysteries unto God, that heavenly language. That you build your inner man, your inner woman. I'm talking about praying in that blessed gift unto the Father. To pray in the Holy Spirit, friend. I just even feel, if I may say, or some who have this gift, but for some reason you have been discouraged to use it. Maybe even you've been contending, asking. I believe today, friend, I just believe God wants to touch your heart afresh. I just believe that if there's any cynicism, there's any doubt, any fear of getting back in that river again, I just feel the Lord saying, trust me, trust me. You don't trust man, you trust God. Come on. Don't allow the failures of humanity to paint a picture that is not true of the character of God. Come on, God did not fail you, friend. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm just praying over you, friend, that we would trust God. We would pray again in that Holy Spirit. We would continue to pray in the Holy Spirit. Number three, we need love. We need love. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I think this is hard to do sometimes, is it not? Come on, talk to me. We're human. I don't feel like loving my enemy. I don't feel like loving that person that wronged me. I don't feel like loving, but I thank God that my feelings don't dictate my faith. Come on. My feelings aren't in the driver's seat. It's my faith. And I decide, Lord, your word says to keep myself in your love, so I'm going to keep myself in your love. I love, friend, the love of God. It's profound. Oftentimes we see in the word that definition of love is agape. And you would know this as students of the word. Agape is this unconditional. It's no fine print. Now, sometimes you sign up for Wi-Fi, you got to accept the terms and conditions, and you don't read it. It's like they could say, you owe me your firstborn child. And you're like, yes. Right? We don't read the terms and conditions. But I love that the love of God has no fine print, no strings attached. Given freely, laying down his life for us, extending his hand again and again and again. This is profound. This goes against the human condition. This goes against the patterns and the ways of the world. See, every other religion sees man reach up to God. Just got to be a good enough person.
Just got to do enough good works. Just got to, you know, have good karma and good energy and go in the strength of my ancestors or whatever it might be, trying to reach up to God. But I love, friend, that Christianity is the only faith and reality that sees man not reach up to God, oh, but God reach down to man. Come on, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That while we were still in darkness and foolishness, the Lord Jesus gave his life up for us freely. That his love covers a multitude of sins, friend. No matter who wants to paint a picture of what love is, friend, the Bible declares the example of Christ, the Lord himself, the triune God, friend, love according to God is love. And we must keep ourselves in this blessed love, keeping our hearts soft towards the Lord, keeping our hearts soft towards people. You never know what they're going through. You never know the story, friend, but may we keep ourselves in the love of God. Quick to serve, quick to speak life, quick to extend our hands and pray, quick to serve, quick to meet a need, quick to get on our hands and knees and fast on the behalf of others, friend. We must keep ourselves in the love of God. Number four, we need mercy. Verse 21 and 22, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord. Not only are we waiting for the mercy of our Lord as he returns a second time, but we are also called to show mercy on those who doubt, to save others by snatching them from the fires of hell, showing mercy but hating sin. I think it's part of our humanness, our humanity, that we love to ask for mercy, but we don't like to show mercy. I think we all love to seek mercy, but it's hard when we must show it. See, mercy isn't getting what we deserve. Remember, friends, for the church, for those who've been redeemed, washed by the blood, we have received this mercy, not getting what we deserve. Our sin, our missing the mark, missing the bullseye, is deserving of the judgment and the punishment of our error, that which is due. For the wages of sin is death. But the good news, friend, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Can we just remind ourselves of this precious gospel? Mercy is not getting what we deserve, but grace is getting what you don't deserve. That God gives us blessing and favor that we could never earn. I love Psalm 103, verse 10. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Lamentations 3:22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Ephesians 2:4-5, but God, being rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. So see, friend, mercy is God withholding the punishment due, while grace is God granting the gift we could never earn. And friend, that same gift that we've been given, oh, the Lord would will that none would perish, but that all would reach repentance. We must walk in mercy, hating the sin, but showing mercy. Can I remind us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood? People are not our enemy. Principalities, evil spirits, that which would deceive and lead those astray, friend, they are our enemy. We wage war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We need mercy, number five. If I could have Keys come and join me. We need five, boldness. We'll talk more about this tonight. Spirit of Elijah, come back. But we need a boldness. We need a boldness. We need a boldness. Verse 23. Save others by snatching them out of the fires of hell. Show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. I think it's an hour, friend, where even seeing what's transpired across the earth the last few weeks, I really believe that there is a time that the Lord would be setting for the church. We talk about Chronos times and we talk about Kairos times. chronological times happen, you know, next Wednesday at 2 p.m., they happen often, but a kairos time is a God-appointed window. And I believe, church, that in Australia, there is a God-appointed window. I believe those who have eyes to see are seeing this, ears to hear are hearing the same thing. There's a window in time where there are people. In our church, we had the windows open. There was a man walking by downstairs. We're on the top floor. He heard the praises of the saints, was so arrested in his spirit that came up, fell to his knees, cried out to Jesus, and one of our team led him in a prayer of repentance to accept the Lord Jesus. Come on, just even hearing the praises of the saints would so arrest somebody. There was a Muslim man that came into our church. He came up to me and said, I go to the mosque every weekend, but I don't feel this energy in the mosque that I feel here. I don't feel this life that I feel there. I don't feel this peace that I feel here. Friend, I told him that's the Holy Spirit. And he gets a word of knowledge by one of our team. It's something at 6 years old. And this man who has not cried in years begins to burst forth, the dams breaking, experiencing the love and the presence of Jesus, friend. And this begins a story. And I believe he's going to give his heart to Jesus. But there needs to be an hour of boldness. There was a husband and wife that I had met 2 years ago, and the Lord had told me to go and tell them as I'm driving. We were going to visit them. The Lord told me that she has been praying prayers like Hannah. She's been barren, and you need to go and declare unto them that the Lord has heard your cries, your prayers, and that by this time next year, you will hold your very own child in your arms. Now, that's a pretty bold prayer, is it not, my friend? But I said, Lord, I'll do it. Then I think, friend, who's on the other side of your Lord? I'll do it. So I go and I say, hey, you hear the Lord saying this? I said, even record this. Take your whole prophetic reputation on the line. Hey, Lord, you're speaking. I'm going to step out in faith. Come to find out that this couple had been barren for 8 years and been praying, trying after trying, this desire, believing God had spoken a child. And so I come and I release this word. And now there needed to be a pregnancy within 3 months in order for this to be fulfilled. And so I'm praying, Lord, I'm praying. I'm praying a month passes by, nothing. A month and a half passes by, nothing. But on the 2 month mark, I get a text. And this couple with crying and celebration had sent a picture of their very own ultrasound of what would be their firstborn daughter, that by that time next year, they have a picture of them holding their daughter in their hands. Come on, that's the God we serve. Come on. Who's on the other side of your boldness, friend? It's not look at me, it's look at Jesus. Come on. He's looking for vessels. He's looking for those who would be bold and step forward. There was a father in our church who had stage 4 cancer in his bones, was given only a definite time to live. Laid my hands upon him and prayed a simple prayer. It was in between the meet and greet at church. Just, Lord, I thank you, God, your hands upon him. I just speak to every cell, the blood of Christ, be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. God bless you. Bless you. Come to find out a few weeks later, goes to the doctor and they're astonished. They say there's no trace of cancer in your bones at all. But come on, give God praise. But here's the best part, friend, is it's now been 3-4 months. And the son-in-law runs up to me this past Sunday at church. Shooketh, we say as Christians, shooketh. And he says he went back for another scan and we have a picture, an MRI. The doctor's in tears congratulating. There is no cancer whatsoever. Come on, can we give God praise and glory? Come on, that's the God we serve, friend. There was a pentagram outside our property with demonic symbols. And I saw it as I was praying up at the top floor. I went down, spit on it in the ratabashiki, in the name of Jesus. I'll tell you, friend, the devil's not happy when the church prays, when the church is bold, when the church professes Christ and Christ crucified, when the church teaches only the word of God, not the precepts of man, not doctrines of demons, not self-help, new age mysticism. I'm talking about Christian orthodoxy. Come on, it's time, friend. It's time. I think it's time for a Bible revival. Come on, the word of God, a lamp unto our feet, the spirit of truth, the sword of the spirit. The devil's coming against the church, but we have no fear, friend, for he is under our feet. And I'll tell you, we've been seeing many demons being cast out in our services. This one woman manifesting, and doesn't need to be weird. It's the demons submit to the authority of Christ. In the name of Jesus, get out, never return. Now, leave. But then screams, but then joy. She starts praying in tongues to God. Come on. I'm saying, friend, and we're seeing this almost every week now. So I don't know if this is new to you. You're like, this is weird. This guy's like crazy. I'm a little crazy because I met the Lord. I've heard his word. He's pierced my heart, friend. And I believe that today he'd want to pierce your heart. I believe it's a time to contend for the holy faith. That he'd want to put a spirit of boldness on you. That he's not giving you a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. You can still be shaky, friends. Pray anyways. Your heart could still be racing. Go anyways. You could be trembling, but I say go anyways, friend. If I may be so bold to say that there are people on the other side of your yes. There are people on the other side of your prayers. Some of you in the room, you've been waking up in the midnight hour, 2:12, 3:15, this same time every morning, and you keep wondering why. It's because the Lord is looking for watchmen, watchwomen, who'd wake up and be on the towers watching. If you've been woken up consistently, you need to stop saying, why am I awake? You need to say, Lord, speak. For your servant listens, and you begin to pray. I believe God's raising up intercessors in this house. I believe God's raising up those who would contend in the midnight hour. Evangelists, those with the spirit of Peter going forth, standing up on Pentecost. I love that Peter didn't stand alone. It says that he stood with the 11. Come on, where are the 11? Where are those saying, God, here am I. Here am I, God, anoint my life afresh. Put that boldness on me. I think we need a boldness like Peter on Pentecost. Boldness like the three Hebrew boys in the fire. A boldness like Daniel in the lion's den. A boldness like Paul before Caesar. A boldness like David before Goliath. A boldness like Esther and Mordecai standing in the gap for a generation. Friend, can I remind the church, don't fear man who can destroy only the body, but fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Oh, come on, we need this fear of the Lord, friend. And I just feel that in this moment, God would want to impart a fresh anointing on you. That as you just open up your heart, you say, God, here am I. The Lord has been speaking. The Lord has been speaking. 2 Chronicles 6:19 says, for the eyes of the Lord look to and fro among the earth, seeking whom he can show strong support towards, whose hearts are blameless toward him. The book of Acts, we're told that the Lord found in David, the son of Jesse, a man who would do all that's in his heart. I believe that today, friends, the Lord is finding men and women who would have that same heart. Lord, I'll do all that's in your heart. So I want to ask you, friend, just now, even in your seat, why don't you begin to extend your hands? And if you need a fresh touch of the Lord, I'm going to open this altar in just a moment. I'd love to lay my hands upon you and pray. Have our ministry come and pray. But even, friend, I just believe that perhaps there are some in this room who would need to return to the Lord in this single-mindedness, who would cry upon the living God, would say, Lord, have mercy on me. Those who've been running, who've been hiding, friend, the mercy of God is here. Begin to call upon the Lord right now. Perhaps you have not made Jesus Lord and Savior. Perhaps you've grown up in a religious frame of faith, but yet you've not yet known Jesus as Lord and Savior, not surrendered fully. Just where you're at, friend, if that's you, I want you to just pray a prayer of surrender. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I repent of my sin, my error. I give you my heart. Come and wash me right now. Just, yep, right there, the mercy, the peace, the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for those who are responding right now. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Son of David, have mercy. For those who are running, friend, come home, come home. The door's open, the light's on, come home. For those who've been intimidated, muzzled, afraid, perhaps even feeling dry, I want to open this altar right now, friend, and anybody and everyone who wants to come forward. God can meet you in your seat, friend, but there's something profound that when you put feet to your faith. So I want to invite you now just to come. You want to touch of the Holy Spirit. Just come. Just come. The Lord is going to meet you. Boldness on you. Shame off you. Fear lifting. Fear leaving. For some of you, it's time to get back in the river. Get back in the prayer closet. Get back on the street corners. Get back in the Word. Why don't you just have a permission to pray in the Holy Spirit? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, my Lord, that you are here, present, seeking to heal, to restore. Upon the Lord now. Extend your faith. Let him touch you. Let him touch you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.